Well, good morning, everybody. So nice. So nice to you. This is Christmas Eve. And I don't know if you're a fan, but we're struggling on not opening up presents until the right time. I tell you what, it is a joy to have children in the home, and the Christmas spirit is about. The Christmas lights are up, Jeremiah. Amy's got some beautiful wreath stuff going here and there, and even the smell of Christmas is happening, and the treats are being cooked up, surely, the different peanut brittles, and what's that other thing you're making, Estelle? Toffee, and oh man, what a great time of year it is right now for us. And I hope you are feeling the spirit of Christmas too, as we're almost upon us. But now, as we're in the final preparations here for Christmas, we'll be going through, though, in our sermon series today, a couple messages for the intended purpose of conditioning our hearts. By the way, it's really nice to see you, Roger. I didn't think he was going to be here today. I thought he was down south, but that's good. Well, oh, good. Oh.
So everything's been moved, and then something changed with our son coming. So everything got rearranged, and I'm like, we are going, but we can't stay. We have to go.
Yes, I know. Jason, Deb was saying, oh, Jason's coming, and I got to travel. So I'm glad you was able to listen.
So we didn't want Ella to get sick, but.
Yeah, yeah. God is good, right? Everybody say, God is good.
God is good.
Amen. All the time, God is good. Well, as we sang this morning, one of Jason's first songs, Joy to the World. What an old favorite that is of mine, and I'm sure to many of you as well. But the topic and theme this morning is going to be about joy today, and we're going to talk about, in particularly, Christmas joy. Now, next week we're going to continue with this theme, though, but we're going to be presenting the building blocks for joy as we prepare for the new year. Can you believe we're switching over to 2019 here shortly? My goodness gracious. I pray, though, you will enjoy this time of reflection and preparation for our coming Savior, Jesus Christ, and for Christmas. And I also want to remind you, though, that we will be having both a caroling exercise this evening at 5 o'clock. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll have a Christmas Eve candlelight service here at the church at 5 o'clock. So please, please invite somebody. There's two times a year that someone will come if they're invited. One time is Easter and the other time is Christmas. So please consider inviting someone to join us in these activities that we have planned. So, but please turn your Bibles to Galatians 4. Starting at verse 4, Galatians 4:4, and it's on page 1033 in your pew Bible, if you want to read along with me. And in that, we call it the inspired and the infallible and living Word of God. But let's blanket this with prayer. Father God, we ask that you be with us here today as we lift up your Word, Lord, and that in this, Lord, that we will see your intended purpose for coming here as a babe, Lord, so many years ago. Lord, we love you and we need you today as much as any time other before. And we ask that you just bless those who are hearing your word here today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Galatians 4:4. The Apostle Paul wrote these words that we have today in Galatians to the city of Galatia a long time ago, and I love how it's a different slant on the Christmas story of sort, that it talks about Jesus and why and when he came. So it says, Galatians 4:4, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. And we'll pause there. So again, today the theme is joy. joy. And if you read and believe that Galatian verse that we just read, then it should give you great joy, as you should realize that you are now saved for all of eternity because God sent His Son Jesus to make a way for you to join Him in heaven. I don't know when you all decided to give your life to Jesus, or when you decided to allow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but when that happens, it should change your life. If you truly believe and reflect upon these passages, just right we have here in Galatians, this understanding, this truth should change your whole perspective on why and what we're here for. About timing here in this verse here, Paul said, when the time came to completion, or a lot of other verses say, at the right time, God decided to send His Son. Well, about 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus came to earth in a very humble manner. The Savior of the world and God of all creation put on humanity, humility, and humbleness to be born as a babe in the manger, giving hope of salvation to all who turn from their sin and believe Him. What a joy. What a joy. And that humble nature. Even the first persons that acknowledged His existence were people out in the wilderness, the shepherds, the lowest people of the low. Those are the ones that God brought to the place of His birth to acknowledge His birth and the Savior being born. That's our Savior. He didn't do it in a kingdom wrapped with all the tidings that you would expect of a king, but yet He was a king. And He was in a manger, like we have out in front of our church now, a little babe in a manger scene. Wow. But billions of Christians around the world now, as a result, choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus during this time of year. Great joy is shared now at Christmas time. Everybody say, hi, Dante.
Hi.
We was going to wait for you, but we decided not to. No. But Christmas time, when it happened, it was no accident. It was an execution of a glorious plan with godly intent. Hundreds of prophecies were written in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and His ministry. The Jewish believers were awaiting, and some are still awaiting, for the coming Messiah Savior. That is Jesus Christ. The prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And that is exactly what happened. You know, and he wasn't from his family wasn't even from Jerusalem, where you would think the king would usher himself out. He was from Nazareth. And what do they say about Nazareth? Nazareth? What good comes out of Nazareth? And yet the king of our Lord Jesus Christ was born there. The prophet Isaiah wrote about the Messiah some 700 years before Christ's birth. 700 years before He was born, he wrote this in Isaiah 7:14, if you want to look it up. He says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. A virgin. I'm sure that 700 years between the time when Isaiah said it and actually came to fruition, they're probably thinking, a virgin is going to give birth? What does that mean? Well, now we know what it means, and there's still people, a lot of people scratching their heads too. But later on, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now some here think that is just a song, and a great song it is. But no, it was prophecy written 700 years before Jesus came to earth. Amen? That is why it is important and profitable, though, for us to be reading our Bibles, ladies and gentlemen. And that I gave you here are just a few of the many examples of the prophecy written in the Old Testament that we need to just believe, reach in and believe and understand what this Christmas time is all about. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be reading our Bibles. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote, for instance, 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Read your Bible. It's God's word that's been breathed out. God gave us this so we can study it and know what it's all about and apply it. It's not word of mouth. This is written down for us. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul also wrote, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." God wants and expects that if you're a Christian, you're going to be doing some work. And he's given you the instructions for life here. You know, the acronym for Bible, I'm sure you all heard this before, is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Read it. It's like your owner's manual in your car. How many people have read your owner's manual in your car? A couple of you? Oh, good. Very good. I know I've read mine at least once or twice. And I tell you, every time I read it, I find some code or something that I didn't know was there. Like you hold down the button of the window for 5 seconds, and then you can reprogram whether it goes down or up all the way with the touching. Who'd have figured? If you don't read it, you'll never know. And that's what the Bible is too for us as Christians. We need to know God's word so we can apply it rightfully in our own ministries. And yes, you have ministries. If you're a child of God, then everything you do after being saved is a ministry. That's the reason why God keeps you around, so that you can make new believers. This Bible should change your lives. We need to be reading it. But the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about the birth of Jesus, as well as his life, death, and resurrection of the Savior, Jesus Christ. They are the most valuable for us to read and reflect on, whether you're a Christian or not. This is history. Every nation, every religion under the world believes Jesus Christ was. They may not believe he's the Savior of the Lord or Messiah, but they know Jesus Christ was. And those four books tell four different perspectives of who this Jesus was. Read your Bibles. If you have been struggling this Christmas to get into the Christmas spirit. Amen? Anybody? Sometimes without the snow out there, it kind of takes away a little tiny bit. But even I, you know, sometimes are challenged in this regard. So I challenge you to continue to consider reading just one of those gospel messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I invite you to take one of those. Maybe if you don't have it, we even have little New Testaments back there with the New Hope, the gospel story in them. Please take it as a gift if you haven't already. The main takeaway of the message today, and the central theme, though, of the whole Bible, is that God loves you. He really loves you. My dear brothers and sisters, who would send their son to die on the cross unless there was an ultimate purpose and a love that goes beyond all understanding? That's what our God did. He really, really loves you. And that is the most important truth that he wants you to know. Being that it is Christmas time, you should know that Jesus being born is one of the most significant events of all human history. And that alone should bring us true joy. When God physically came into our world in the form of his son Jesus Christ, Matthew's gospel says that these events took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken in the prophets. But that's not the first time Jesus, though, came to earth, or God incarnate came to earth. What is commonly referred to as the pre-incarnate Christ, or God, actually appears throughout the Old Testament. We see God with us in the story of the Garden of Eden, where God conversed with Adam in the cool of the day. And right after the fall, God told Satan that his son would one day crush his head, or crush him. You'll find that in Genesis 3:15. We also see the pre-incarnate God in the burning of the bush with Moses, and the pillar of clouds and fire that led Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. That is God incarnate. Then the New Testament, in the New Testament, God's presence took a whole new meaning, though, in the incarnation, God in the flesh, with the physical embodiment now of God in the birth of Jesus. His holy conception was like no other before or after. His mother Mary was a young virgin betrothed or promised, but not yet married to Joseph, a Jewish carpenter. Mary received a visit from an angel who announced that she would conceive and bear a son who would be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The angel said that the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's a quote. 9 months later, the unique holy person who was both God and man, born Emmanuel, which means God with us. True joy to the world was received indeed. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, is seen throughout the Gospels. And anyone can't deny that his actions clearly reflected the attributes of God himself. God's compassion was offered by healing those with leprosy and paralysis, blindness, fever, deafness, and demonic oppression. He healed people. God's care and provision for all of humanity and concern for the poor and hungry manifested by feeding crowds of 4,000 and again 5,000 people. Jesus showed God's power over nature as he walked on water and commanded the wind and the storm to cease. He showed his power over death even by raising the widow's son from the dead. A 12-year-old girl he raised from the dead, and even his friend Lazarus, he rose from the dead, defying all concepts of reality from our perspective. Jesus showed over and over God's mercy. He forgave sins over and over for the people that we would think would never be worthy of it. He forgave them. And God's love he showed by his willingness to be hung on the cross eventually, to die so to make it possible for us to enter into now a real eternal relationship with God in heaven. Through his teachings or parables, Jesus showed his true character. This is seen in the parables which portray various aspects of God's nature, such as, for instance, the loving and forgiving Father in the story of the prodigal son. I love that story. Compassion in the parables that shows God's compassion of parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin. He showed great patience and righteous judgment in the parables of the wheat and the tares and the growing seeds. We need to be reading these stories and understanding how to apply them to our own life. He showed righteous judgment in parables of the rich fool, the unjust steward, and the rich man Lazarus. He taught us about forgiveness in the parable of the two debtors and about love and caring for those in need in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Read your Bible. This is God with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus showed us the length to which God would go in order to reconcile humanity himself to himself. By ordaining that he himself, in the form of a God, the Son, would take upon himself the punishment of all the sins of humanity. Christmas is intended now to be a joyous celebration of the God with us in the birth of God's incarnate Son, who lived and died in order to make it possible for us to come into the right relationship now with Father God, and so that we could dwell with him in heaven forever. That should bring you joy and a joyous reason to celebrate indeed. Praise the Lord. Now back to the verse here in Galatians 4. I want to read the whole thing again now to put it in perspective now that you got that background. Verse 4 says, "When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that they might receive as adopted sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you also an heir. Have you ever watched the old Shirley Temple movies? I love those old Shirley Temple. Sorry, Shirley. She's a good person, too. Everything I've read about her in the past, she was an ambassador, I think, to Africa or something like this. But I love those old Shirley Temple movies. Remember the one where that she was eventually adopted? Remember that one? At the end of the story? And you could just feel the joy that she had realizing that she was no longer an orphan, but that somebody loved her enough to adopt her. Well, that same sentiment is what Christians now should feel. Because of this verse, we see that we are adopted, joyous because we are redeemed or purchased by Jesus and adopted into His family. If we truly realize how great that is, then our hearts should be filled with love and joy and compassion for the Father God and what He did for us who really, really did not deserve it. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now considered adopted children of God and an heir to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And according to this verse, God even gifted us with His Holy Spirit and put Him in our hearts to help us get through life. Brothers and sisters, God loves you, Mavis. God loves you, Jeremiah. And God loves you, Dante. And for that reason alone, we should have an abundance of Christmas joy today. At Christmas time, especially all of us within whom the Spirit now of God dwells are in a sense an extension of the term God with us. In our community, we should be reflecting this to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people who serve us in the shops and the restaurants, and to the strangers whom the Lord brings across our path. We should be showing that God is with us. The love we show through our interactions with others, the words we speak, the actions we take, the kindness and generosity we show, the helping hand we offer, reflect the Holy Spirit of Jesus dwelling within us. Others should be able to sense something uncommon and special in you. And when we explain the miraculous joy we now have, and that it can be with them too, we then help to fulfill the ultimate purpose of Christians is to bring His joy and love into the world. This is a wonderful time of years, brothers and sisters, to share the gospel of Christ with others, to let them know what Jesus says as written in John 3:16. You know this one, don't you? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. We are each called to do all we can to share the news of God with us, with those who truly need Him. Share in His joy, brothers and sisters. Share in His Christmas joy. I'm not going to ask you all to rise today, but we got a special that we're going to sing here. But please pray with me, though. Then we will hear this other song by Jason. And if God has moved you today to take up that cross and follow Him, I invite you to come forward and allow me to pray over here with you. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for the Christmas joy. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the activities of the day that we put aside our reverence for You. But Lord, it's all about You. You loved us so much that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin. How unworthy I am. How humbled I am at that action. Father God, I ask that if anybody here today has accepted You as your Lord and personal Lord and Savior, that they would consider coming forward, and let's pray over them. Father God, if there's anybody who'd like to join the church, this is the time to do it as well. Lord, we love you and we need you in our lives more and more, day by day. And Lord, as we contemplate the next few days, just open our hearts, our minds, take the scales off our eyes and see our neighbor and love them as we love ourselves. Father God, we love you. And it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Ocho.